Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Darth Maul almost once said,
"At last we will reveal ourselves to the audience." Hello and welcome to Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. We have a wonderful show for you here today. I am one of your hosts. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. Our other host is, of course, the wonderful
Internet Soapbox Mark. Just fill in the blank. It works. Follow me on Twitter, at Soapbox Mark. And returning, wonderful, wonderful contributor, Ms. Jennifer Landa.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to talk today mostly about the dark side. What is so bad about the dark side? It sounds like it should be bad from the title, The Dark Side. But I think Star Wars is a complicated, interesting universe, and it's only going to get more so with The Force Awakens. So we're really interested in talking about all things dark side. We'll talk about some of the theories surrounding Luke and other characters. The Star Wars world has just been fractured in the last 24 hours by thoughts of, is it possible that Jar Jar Binks was a Sith Lord? So we will touch on that a little bit. We're also going to do our segment Mind Probe, where we will take some of you guys' questions from Facebook and answer them. We're still talking about The Force Awakens in our Mind Probe section, so we're going to launch into all that. But first, we want to get to know you again a little bit, Jennifer Landa.
Sure.
You've been a guest before. You've answered the very traditional five questions here on Jedi Alliance. So we have some different returning guest questions for you. Do you feel ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Excellent. Excellent. What piece of Star Wars technology would you want to have in real life?
Initially, I would say lightsaber. It'd be excellent for crafts, you know, cut right through that foam really easily. But then I thought, at this point in my life, I need, like, a personal assistant. I need some help.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking, like, my own droid.
Protocol droid?
Absolutely. Yeah, protocol. I would take either, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the language thing is fantastic nowadays.
Yeah.
But I also would love to have R2 maybe build things, help me fix things, even maybe, like, a medical droid. Why not?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you would just take any old droid?
Any droid.
Even like an astromech that doesn't work well, that just shoots grease everywhere?
Not so much.
Okay, okay. We just watched the prequels for watch-alongs, and now that's all that I can think about with R2 is just belching out all of that weird black fluid.
It's most useful tool, arguably.
Excellent. And Jennifer, if you turn to the dark side, fitting for today's show, what would your Darth name be?
I think I would take revenge on those who have wronged me.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm going to go dark side, I'm going to go full on. No messing around.
Sweet yellow eyes and everything?
Absolutely. So my name would have to be, I would be like Darth Revenge, but, you know, Darth Revenge doesn't have a good ring to it.
Revenga.
So something like in Spanish, Darth Venganza.
Oh, wow.
I think that's the Spanish for revenge. I'm not quite sure. But it sounds cool, right?
It sounds cool regardless. And that's the tradition of a lot of Darth names, of it almost sounds like something.
Something else.
Yeah. Yes. So that sounds, so can you say it flowingly in an evil way? Can you announce yourself as your Darth name again?
Darth Venganza.
Yeah, that's a great...
I'm pretty scared.
Great Darth name? Great wrestling name, right?
Yeah, no, that'll work too.
Oh my goodness.
Excellent. And what Star Wars animal, Jennifer, do you think makes the best noises?
I love the Tauntaun.
Yeah.
The Tauntaun has so many great different sounds. There's the high... I can't even do it, but... no, that's not right. It just sounds like I'm in pain.
Fine, keep trying.
But I love the rather.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the Hamburglar, rabble.
Yeah.
A little bit more...
That's a great pull.
Rabble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, that works.
I had a Chihuahua growing up, and I was delighted when the Chihuahua would get angry and he would make Tauntaun noises. And there'd part of me be like, oh, I'm bummed out that my Chihuahua is upset about something, but it sounds like a Tauntaun. That's awesome.
So it makes it so much better.
In which Star Wars character do you think smells the best?
It's going to be Tarkin, without a doubt. Maybe it's a British accent that kind of makes me go there, but I just feel like he would have a very distinct kind of musky scent, maybe a little bit of leather, you know? I can just imagine walking down the hall and just getting a scent of him.
Yeah, like he'd just smell like scotch.
Yeah. This
is fascinating because we've asked this question, I don't know, like 4 or 5 times because we rotate through these questions, and many people have said Tarkin.
No way.
And then other people have pointed out he is one of the only characters where another character actually says you smell bad.
Oh,
because Leia says, right, I recognize your foul stench. And yet, so maybe it's a real ironic thing when Leia says that. You're known throughout the galaxy for smelling sweet. So I know this is going to hurt your feelings.
Right.
It's really, it's a real deep cutting character moment. Yeah. For Tarkin's like, I take time. I wear several sorts of oils all around. Yeah. I will use a particular detergent.
I bathe 7 times a day.
And I distinctly put whiskey in and throughout my face and hair just so that it smells fresh and woodsy.
Yeah, that sounds like that should be good to splash scotch on your head to smell good.
Yeah, not the
probably
sign of an alcoholic.
Not a good idea.
Not the sign of an alcoholic at all.
Not in real life, yeah. And finally, this is a new question we wanted to ask. What was your ticket-buying experience for The Force Awakens? What triumph or tragedy did you go through on that wonderful night?
It could have gone so bad. I was so upset. We had taken my 4-month-old daughter to the doctor, and I was like, well, we have plenty of time. Cut to the 405. We're sitting in traffic. It begins to rain in Los Angeles, which, you know,
never
does.
Sign of the apocalypse, yes.
So my husband was checking Twitter, and he's like, the tickets just went on sale. It was like, what, 2 hours early or something?
It was pretty early.
It was pretty early.
Yeah.
And so there he was, frantic. I'm driving. The baby's screaming in the back. I'm like, just buy the tickets. We have to get tickets.
She sensed the disturbance.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, she did. But we got him. So the Force was strong with us.
All right, is it IMAX 3D? Which
we're going old school, just regular, right? No 3D,
fair
no
enough.
IMAX.
Mm.
And did you get the time that you wanted?
Yeah. Seven o'clock. 7 o'clock.
Do you feel like screaming at the universe helped you? Is that what made this happen?
Yeah, and my husband's persistence, like, 'cause the websites kept crashing, and he just kept doing it over and over again, refreshing, and finally, I think it like was 20 minutes. Finally,
that's not bad
it.
For still getting a 7 o'clock ticket.
Right?
There's the will of the Force.
Yeah, that's really good.
Thursday
absolutely
night.
The will of the Force. You are the chosen one. Or your baby. Your baby is the chosen one.
She is the chosen one.
Hopefully not the whole Plagueis thing.
Yeah, hopefully not the murder thing. That's a horrible thing to say.
No.
That would be bad.
Yeah. Yeah. The chosen one for getting tickets.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
I'm happy that everybody so far has had a relatively okay experience with tickets. But we go from that to news from the Holonet. Very first on the docket is a new Battlefront trailer was released recently. Broken record here, but I cannot wait for that game. I'm actually selling my old PS4 to get the Darth Vader PS4.
Wow. Yeah. Are you going to lose money on that?
Actually, no. If I had traded it in immediately, it would have been like $175, but now it's back up to $250, and I have a bunch of other stuff to trade in, so I'll be all right. But in it, it was revealed that Boba Fett has escaped the Sarlacc pit, and it's suggesting the canon that he just got out. It's not something just in game. He even says something remarking akin to the tone of like, that's not going to happen to me again. So
as he's flying over the Sarlacc pit,
flying over the Sarlacc pit in the trailer. So amongst other things that were announced in the trailer, but just starting with that, do you think that that's going to hold true? Is Boba Fett escaped and ready to prowl around the universe these next 30 years that we don't know about?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think, didn't Kathleen Kennedy mention that was going to happen? We were going to see Boba Fett perhaps in a new film
or
a storyline.
Yeah, I think she did,
somewhere.
Yeah. I think there's nothing sort of like stamped in like official canon yet about his return, but I think she certainly said like he's going to, and this seems like, Mark, you were telling me that Battlefront is kind of canon?
Yeah, it's really gray. The actual events of, the battles that they're based on are canon, but the events of the battles aren't necessarily canon, because in the Battle of Hoth, the Rebels can win.
Right.
Just as an example, because that was in the beta. But so individual deaths and Darth Vader actually getting involved on the battlefield, and Han and Leia and the Emperor getting on the battlefield and actually taking part in those battles. Of course, we know that's not canon,
right,
as awesome as it is. And we had the Emperor, who was doing all of the VO for this trailer, and getting him as a character, awesome. One thing, though, it looks like his costume isn't just the black robe that we're familiar with, but it's the actual, like, Sith robe of the leather that like Anakin was wearing in episode 3. So they kind of changed that a little bit. Don't know if that's good or bad yet. What do you guys think about that?
I am thrilled to see new fashion styles of Chief Palpatine.
Instead of just a questionable robe.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Jennifer? Do you want more Emperor stylings?
Sure, why not? I mean, I was just excited to see that you could play Han, because I played the Battlefront beta, and it was awesome.
Yes, it was.
And I got to play as Darth Vader and as Luke, and that was just, it was so fulfilling as a fan. Mm-hmm. So now getting to play as Leia. Boba Fett, I feel like it's going to be canon that he survived the Sarlacc pit. And it was kind of a funny thing, like you're saying, he flies over the pit and he's like, oh, no, not again. It's kind of a funny little...
Not this time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. There seems to be a lot of that playfulness toward old canon in a lot of the new stuff. There's a lot of things in Aftermath that are like, you can just read it as that's an event and that's what a character says and it works within the reality of the story. But it's also like lots of little meta things of, you know, little digs at things that fans, you know, have always had strong opinions about, like losing Boba Fett in that way. Yeah, I think he's absolutely going to be back. I hope that they spend like a decent amount of time on exactly how he got out of that pit, because that has always been one of the sort of weird wobbly things of Star Wars expanded universe, where it's been explained different ways, different places. So, you know, you would talk to people back in the dark ages of the 90s, like, oh yeah, Boba Fett escaped, he did this, yeah Dengar got him out, yeah, oh no, he lived there for a while, he had an apartment down there, like everybody had a different thought and opinion. So I'm looking forward to it being canon.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see it in the game, because there's not going to be a lot of actual like cutscene stuff in the game. But I would love to see. First of all, do you think the beaked Sarlacc or the OG Sarlacc?
I think special edition is canon, right?
Yeah.
So the Sarlacc's got a beak.
That was in the trailer, and I was like, oh, maybe I'm seeing things. But no, I'm super excited. Boba Fett. As much as he's not my favorite bounty hunter, awesome. Will be awesome to play as in the game. Secondly, we do have a new Duracell ad. That shows, it's a Christmas ad. We see a brother and sister playing Star Wars. The little girl is dressed as Rey and uses the Force against a new trooper. So is this a hint? Is this, hey, maybe Rey is going to be Force sensitive and this is a confirmation that she's a Skywalker, at least Force sensitive? Or is this just something fun for Christmas time?
It felt to me sort of like, well, obviously it's not canon, because things that happen in Duracell ads are not canon.
You say
yes.
That now.
Yes,
exactly.
Right. Only a matter of time until Star Wars controls everything.
Certain point.
But it felt to me like we're getting so close, and clearly I felt like the ad wanted to show a boy and a girl playing Star Wars. They have the two lightsabers they have are both of Luke's lightsabers that he used in the original trilogy. So it doesn't seem like an absolute confirmation, but it seems like, why just leave the girl out? Why have her just have a staff, a mysterious staff, and instead let her have fun, let her throw people around, let her have a lightsaber. But for me, it's supporting my opinion that she's going to be a Skywalker.
Yeah, I really feel like Disney has been so deliberate about everything that they're showing us that I felt like, yeah, she has to be a Skywalker. Maybe this is a little bit of a hint, but in the end, it is a Duracell ad, so we can't get too caught up in it. And I'm
we certainly can. I mean, we probably shouldn't, but we can.
But we can. And I thought it was good that they showed a strong female character. I think that they're trying to play for that audience, you know, for the girls and the boys. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they included a Rey character.
Yeah, yeah, and then thinking about it in the moment, it seems silly to say, like, oh, this is a confirmation that Rey is Force sensitive. But at the same time, can you imagine if back in the day there was an ad where Han Solo just used the Force?
Right.
We would have lost our minds, because that's just not right.
Right.
And sure, this is coming out before the movie, but even looking back, I mean, certainly as fans, we can always find things to be upset about that are incorrect.
Well, make sure to watch the watch-alongs on Popcorn Talk, where we did the prequels. But also, this and some of the other ads were there's a really big nostalgia as well as a big generational thing, the Target ad, the Battlefront ad, even the PlayStation 4 ad. What do you think of that as, like, a new parent? Like, about sharing this with the next generation?
I think up until now I kind of forgot that, you know, kids are into Star Wars. I'm like, no, this is mine. What are you talking about? It's my generation. So it's actually really cool that my daughter is going to grow up with Star Wars like I did. Getting to go to a Star Wars land is going to be mind-blowing for me and for her.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like my dream come true, and I hope oh gosh, I really hope that this will be her dream come true as well.
Yeah.
Got some work to do, but you know.
The Toys R Us ad sort of had that feel, and I was curious what you thought about that too, where it is telling the story of the dad who really wants his daughter to be into Star Wars. And he's not, I think the ad is really good because it walks that line of he's not pressuring her.
Mm-hmm.
He's continually inviting her, like, do you want to sit down and watch Empire Strikes Back? And she's like, eh. And then eventually he catches her in the toy aisle at Toys R Us playing with the Kylo Ren and is like so elated.
Yeah.
And I like that because I think it's honest about an older generation of Star Wars fans who really want their kids to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even to an obsessive controlling level.
What are you talking about?
But not quite, you know, I'm not a parent. I'm an uncle. But I did, when my nephew was 1 year old, I bought him a lightsaber. And I told my brother, like, you have to tell him that his uncle wanted him to have this when he's old enough.
Aww.
Yeah. It worked out. My nephew got it when he was like two and just like smashed some stuff in the house. So he wasn't quite old enough.
No, he got it and then got it taken.
But
away.
How do you feel about that? Do you like that idea that it's in the commercials that this is how we should enjoy it, of that we should sort of train the next generation?
I do like it. I mean, that's like what my dad did for me. He was a really big movie buff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of kids. I got introduced to Goodfellas at a very young age because of my dad.
Hell of a franchise.
Know? Yeah, The Godfather. He's like, you got to watch this. This is classic cinema. And
yeah.
His enthusiasm made me excited about it. And so I'm hoping that I can do the same with my daughter, that my, dare I say, obsession will kind of get her excited and see the magic of Star Wars.
I would love to see Duracell ads that are like, share the gift of Godfather with your six-year-old.
It's like a battery-operated horse head that's like,
put this in bed with your parents Christmas morning. It's a horse head.
Yeah, it's a
kid. Never see them again.
Oh, no. For as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to be a gangster. I love that opening line.
Yeah, it's Good great. Balls. It's powerful.
Yeah.
Hell of a transition to Harrison Ford in a hot dog suit, but...
There's
we're
no
gonna
good
try.
Transition for that,
no.
Is there?
So Harrison Ford appeared on Jimmy Kimmel this week. He was a hot dog. He was a dog dressed as a hot dog. And I honestly thought that the photo that we're going to show was Photoshopped. It looked ridiculous. I mean, look at that.
It looks ridiculous.
The mustard
yes.
looks fake. The nose looks... It looks like somebody just poked his head through somebody... Yeah,
he's owning it so well. Because he's doing that great thing of just pretending he's not dressed up ridiculous.
No, right. He's just there. It's like whenever Bill Murray was on Dave Letterman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And any time Jimmy would ask him questions about, like, direct questions, he would just be like, woof, or bark, or something really silly. He's joining the growing amount of people who have either seen the movie who are a part of the movie that it's going to be good. Just, hey, trust me. That's it. That's all we're getting from people. There's even Kevin Smith recently said that he saw a movie that was like Star Wars. Totally unrelated. Did you see the Star Wars trailer? It looks really good.
It's good.
So do you trust... in Harrison Ford, especially because he's a lot more positive than he's been in the past about the whole franchise.
Yes.
So what do you think about his prediction, his confirmation?
I was surprised by how genuine and sincere he mm-hmm. seemed. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no faking. I don't feel like he would. I don't think that he would exaggerate. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was hard. I kept laughing because of that hot dog suit, and I don't know how Jimmy Kimmel kept a straight face.
Well, he was dressed as Princess Leia.
I know, that's true. That's true. But I was really struck by how sincere he seemed and how he seemed very grateful to be a part of this new film.
Yeah, and I thought it was powerful because what you're saying, Mark, of he's legendarily grumpy about Star Wars up to this point, and he's warmed up a little bit by saying things like, yeah, I'm happy that George gave me my career and things like that. But I think a couple things about this interview that out of all of the people in the world who are in a big movie who could get away with going on a show like this and just not saying anything or even being jokingly negative, I mean, like, stars go on there to promote films. So mm-hmm. in one way, it's not a surprise that he came on and said, this is going to be a good movie. But he's like the one star who could get away with going, I don't know, Star Wars.
Well, he's also got kind of a history with Jimmy. So I think that connection makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, he said in the interview that he's happy that George didn't take his advice to kill off Han Solo.
Yeah.
Right.
Which was just kind of cool as a fan to hear.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Jimmy kind of led that question a little bit.
Yeah.
But to your point about, Jennifer, about his utter sincerity, he sort of forced the, like, no, 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 I want to stop the conversation while Jimmy Kimmel is joking around and say, it's really good. Mm-hmm. And that to me is the best part of it, because I think that is a real confirmation that he wanted to make sure that that was heard.
Mm-hmm.
And also to see him say, like, no, enough of the joking around. I'm dressed as a hot dog, but I have an important mission for Star Wars fans out there.
This is the joke.
This isn't. It's good.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Like, that's the only part that you're not supposed to take seriously,
yeah,
is his costume.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to transition from Harrison Ford as a hot dog to the next natural thing, the true essence of the dark side of the Force. And we're going to start the discussion. We're going to get into a lot of the sort of the depth of what it means to be dark side, because I think the Star Wars world is playing around with it a lot more than it has. And in some of the new things, it makes me reflect back on some of the sort of tried and true quotes we know from the original trilogy. So we're going to talk about some of those, but we want to talk right away about the Jar Jar theory that was promoted by a user on Reddit, that Jar Jar Binks is actually a Sith Lord, or at least was intended initially by George Lucas to be a Sith Lord. So you guys have had a chance to look at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What do you guys think that the theory, which we'll break down a bit, is meant tongue in cheek, or do you think it's by the guy who wrote it, or do you think it's a mixture of, like, this is both funny and, hey, maybe it could be true?
I think it harkens back to the dark times, as you call them. Anytime before the internet is a wonderful time, I will say that. But I think it's a theory like that, where it's somebody just kind of having fun with redeeming this character as somebody of value. But since reading into the theory a little bit more, I think we might be seeing something similar with Poe Dameron.
Oh, okay.
Because, we haven't seen much of him past, he's an X-Wing pilot, and his parents are in the comic. Like, but now we're getting somebody who's presented as a hero, wants to be a hero no matter what, and might end up turning to the dark side.
Oh, okay.
It's just a lot less goofy. It's somebody that we can actually be invested in. Like, this Poe Dameron is Jar Jar take two. That's my that's my prediction.
Wow. You are owning the prediction.
I might as well.
I admire that. It was clear and bold and interesting. I want to get back to that just a little bit. For anybody who hasn't read the Reddit, just a quick summary. It is well researched. I think that's why it is taking off, because it is both funny and it's really well researched. The basic idea is that all of the bumbling that Jar Jar does in The Phantom Menace is actually him using the Force, because every bumbling thing he does, he actually does defeat a droid, or he helps Anakin and Qui-Gon actually meet. And then going forward, he is, at significant moments, he is making sure that Anakin is reminded of his obsession with Padme. He is, of course, helping with the vote to mm-hmm. create the clone army and give all of the power to Palpatine. And I think the most compelling and interesting part of it is the comparison to Yoda. Everybody knows that Lucas does like rhythms in the movies, and that he put things in there to be similar to the original trilogy and harken back. And the idea that Yoda is this very wise old person who initially looks like a goofball. So the theory that he's putting forth, I think, most seriously is that George took that a step farther and said, Jar Jar is going to be a bumbling idiot for the whole first movie, and then in maybe the second or the third, we'll realize that he is the dark power of the entire saga behind everything.
Well, he went to take a step and he tripped and fell down the stairs. That's
exactly.
That's what happened.
He went too far.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and it even includes some, like, quotes about how Jar Jar's story was changed because of the reaction and things like that. So do you guys think, do you find that at all compelling, Jennifer, or is it just sort of disturbing? Does it make you feel cold?
It is disturbing. But
unnatural.
I love, yes, it is unnatural, but I love that this guy is committed. It was probably started, I don't know how it started off, but maybe he was like, you know what, everyone casts off Jar Jar. Mm-hmm. He's such a hated character. I'm going to prove that he is the antithesis of what we think he is.
Yeah.
And there's something kind of noble about that.
The redemption theme that we talk about in Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like as people are looking back at the prequels, and currently, you know, Disney is saying this is part of the brand. It's all there, that there is a desire to redeem it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's so, there's a lot of prequel hate, a lot of Jar Jar hate. So I think, yeah, trying to make peace with that, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. And at least go toward Jar Jar tolerance.
Jar Jar tolerance.
Like I said on a previous episode, if there's any character that I would like to see in episode 7, it's Jar Jar as a well-seasoned politician, because as just a dude with a gray beard, he's kind of outgrown. And I'm being 100% serious.
A gray beard?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Like, he's got the tendrils like the older Gungans do.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
But
okay.
he's
beard.
He's just kind of, he's grown out of it. Like, he's learned there. Anytime he lets a Misa kind of come out, he catches himself and goes back to being the statesman that he has evolved into. That's
right.
Something that I want to see.
Wow.
Because I think that'll make a lot of people go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then that'll be that.
Yeah, I think it'd be an interesting thing to do. I feel like we are going down a path that you cannot follow,
Jennifer. I'm sorry.
No, I understand.
Those flappy ears.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. But he's the one character that most fans all feel the same about, mm-hmm. up until this theory.
Right.
So I'd like to see him get his redemption, like most of these other characters in the Star Wars universe have.
I think you were touching by just saying, oh, his ears, on one of the biggest problems with Jar Jar redemption is just the aesthetic.
Right.
That he is so goofy. And even though Yoda is a Muppet, or was a Muppet, and if he had just been a bumbling fool all through Empire Strikes Back, it would have been like, oh, there is just a Muppet in Empire Strikes Back, which is the right. point that's made on the Reddit thread. Even his Yoda's aesthetic is closer to fitting into the Star Wars world, mm-hmm. than Jar Jar's was initially. Now we accept it. It's part of it.
Right.
There are other things that look like Jar Jar. But it's fascinating to me that aesthetics is actually one of the driving things that is difficult for us to accept this.
Absolutely. I mean, have you guys seen The Binks Awakens, the trailer for that?
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, that right there, talk about aesthetics. I mean, you see his little head pop up, and it's like, oh, you just can't help but laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't take him seriously.
Also, the Binks version of the new poster.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
And that's where the Reddit thread comes around to, is the idea that he is the supreme... It's Supreme Leader Snoke, I believe, that he is in charge of absolutely everything, that he is the new mysterious evil guy. So I want to get back to, so that's kind of the whole theory.
Okay.
It justifies him, and it brings him into The Force Awakens as well. Why do you, what makes you think that Poe Dameron is going to appear goofy and then become evil?
That's not what I mean.
Okay, so not
that's
the
not
goofy
what I mean.
Part.
I mean that if George is to be believed that Jar Jar was going to be the new character that everybody would love, and now with this theory, I think we're going to get that on its ear. Poe Dameron's going to be presented as a hero and then make the turn, or be revealed to have been evil all the time, like this Jar Jar theory presents.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's the sort of the classic mole story that we've never got in... In Star Wars, there would have been, appeared to be good, but it's actually twisted.
No, I don't think we're going to hear a Misa out of Poe Dameron at all.
Goodness.
I just mean in the type of character that George wanted Jar Jar to be, as this guy that everybody starts to love, and then he either makes a turn to one side or the other.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love the mole theory. Mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. really, really cool.
We haven't seen anything for Poe other than he's an X-Wing pilot.
Exactly.
That's the only thing that we've seen.
Right.
Yeah.
So... There's gonna be a change.
Change is coming.
I love seeing you so passionate about this.
Yeah.
That's great.
So
we're gonna dig into the dark side a little bit more. Yoda initially describes the dark side as quicker, easier, more seductive. Do you guys think that's true in the Star Wars world? Does that make sense to you? Do you believe Yoda when he says that is the difference between the light side and the dark side? That it's not more powerful, it's quicker, easier, more seductive.
Absolutely. I think it's more difficult to practice restraint,
mm-hmm.
and to not allow your emotions to get the best of you. And to, I mean, you know, anger and aggression is almost like adrenaline, you know, mm-hmm. it can lead to adrenaline, which would make you attack. But if you're a Jedi, you know, you're not supposed to attack. You're supposed to practice restraint.
You see it in episode 3 with Sidious. Once he finally pulls out his lightsaber and he drops the whole, and he just lets, he starts laughing and just showing all of this emotion.
Mm.
And while that's kind of freaky, it shows just at its core, like, I've been, it's taken me this long to get to this point, but now I'm going to directly take care of you with how I feel.
Yes, right. Yes. Quick corkscrew of death, as you've pointed out.
I love it.
His attack across the desk, yeah. But I feel like that's one of the things that's always made the dark side and the light side relatable, you know, to me, especially as a very young kid seeing this, the idea of you feel powerful when you're angry and you're quick to anger, but you know, you feel a different kind of power when you have, like, forgiveness or restraint, but it takes so much more work and effort. And I think that, I hope that that's kind of continuing in current Star Wars. Another element of the dark side that I wanted to talk about is the suggestion that it brings, that it allows power over life and death, as Sidious says, basically, just directly in Revenge of the Sith. Do you guys think that that's true? Do you think that in canon we're going to come to discover that the dark side does have power over life and death? Or do you think he was just playing Anakin a little bit because he knew that's what he wanted to hear?
Right. I feel like if it is true, it's going to come at a cost. You're going to come back to life, but you're going to be more like a Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Like, something's
okay.
going to be wrong.
So you think
know?
It will be unnatural?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mark, what do you think? Do you think that that Sheev was just playing Anakin, or do you think that these powers are real? And I know that they've been discussed and illustrated in, like, a lot of things that aren't canon now.
Yeah, they're
right.
legends now.
And right. some things in canon have hinted at it, but we haven't had that sort of, like, clear confirmation that as sure as Sith can shoot lightning out of their hands, they can save people from death, they can prolong their own lives. We don't have that really locked in canon anywhere that I'm aware of.
No, I think he might have been playing him to an extent, or it was just hubris talking. I think it might have been Sheev just coming out and saying, oh, there is a power and it's there, but it's more kind of like, we're still trying to figure that part out. Kind of, it's like an asterisk.
Yeah.
It's like an asterisk.
Right.
I think there, I mean, as with any skill tree in a video game, there's always an ultimate power. So it might be that ultimate power that the Sith have been trying to attain. And they're always like, oh, no, we do it, because they deal in absolutes, as we all know. So he's like, oh, no, we totally do that. Yeah, we got that down. Just don't ask us to do it right now, but we can, oh, we're so ready to do it. So I think it's more of a play of what's possible as opposed to anything that we've actually seen before.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I would be really excited to see that, because it was really such a huge point of Revenge of the Sith that was Anakin's reason for turning, is he wanted these powers mm-hmm. over
right.
life and death. And while he thinks that Padme is gone and he doesn't know about the children, so he doesn't have an immediate need to pursue it, it would be really cool to see that idea pursued.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like so hand in hand with what the dark side is,
right.
that idea of unlimited power. And, like, that's kind of the biggest unnatural power you could have, to say that person dies, this person lives, I never die. So would you guys like to see that pursued in the sequel trilogy? The idea of people trying to get power over life and death the way Anakin wanted in Revenge of the Sith?
I think we're seeing that already with Kylo Ren.
Yeah, you think that's going to be one of his...
Yeah, I think just the fact that he's... I think he might be trying to resurrect Darth Vader.
Like, interesting.
Like, honestly. Mm. He's got all of his gear, he's got all of his gimmicks. He might be trying to figure out a way to bring that Force ghost back into corporeal existence.
Yeah, do you think that's what he might be trying to accomplish, to finish what Vader had started, as he appears to say in the trailer?
I believe so. I think that's definitely a possibility, which is a fun way to say that.
not as confident as you are with Poe.
Definitely, right. Maybe. I think that could be... I mean, when people are obsessive, they'll do anything. And if the rumors of Christensen are true, there might be something to that.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
That'd be really fascinating. I never thought of it like mm-hmm. that. Which, you know, I think, yeah, absolutely. It's the ultimate power. It's something that would make me terrified if somebody had control over life and death. I mean, mm-hmm. oof. So, yeah.
So it strikes you in your core is unnatural?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's always portrayed that way in all of our media, so it seems natural, but to me it's an interesting thing to think through. Is that actually unnatural? Because I think it's something we would all want. Anakin's motivations in Sith are really relatable, of like, of course I want to save my loved ones.
Right.
Yeah, but they never said how.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that they weren't very specific, and as you brought up the Frankenstein reference, that's just what it seems like, especially with Sidious showing his true form of the gross face. I don't know. It's unnatural is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think mm-hmm. that, yeah, I think that's it's a really interesting idea if Vader does come back, because it is sort of this attack on the story that we know of, like, mm-hmm. the story of redemption, of, like,
yeah.
he found redemption, and then now you bring him back all twisted and unnatural and evil would be...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very, very disturbing.
Really change things.
So do you guys think, in the world of Star Wars, what makes you or a Sith or a Jedi in the world of Star Wars? Is it your actions, or your intentions or the way you go about completing them. Because it certainly just isn't murder. Because Jedi kill a plenty.
Right.
So
straight-faced. Just like whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Luke blew up, you know, the entire Death Star. And then, like, had a celebration.
Like, yeah, millions of people just died.
I blew up a lot of people. I'm a hero. Drink some jet juice. And I think that's a fascinating thing, that when A New Hope came out, and for years and years, it was a simple story of good and evil.
Right.
Because that's the way the language of the film taught us to think about it. Like, some people blew up, but they were evil. Don't worry about it. It's not a thing. But now, especially like in the new canon books, we're being asked to question the morality of that. So since we know that Jedi do take life when they have to, what do you think makes someone have fallen to the dark side if it's not mass murder?
It's the intent versus the actions. I feel like the Jedi are always fighting for the greater good.
Right.
They're fighting for a collective, mm-hmm. as opposed to the Sith, which tend to fight for more themselves.
Selfish.
Yeah, exactly. Individual strength, individual power, you know, and so that to me right there is what, it's just like in our real life, you know, someone's intent to murder.
Right.
As opposed to like defending themselves or maybe taking action for social justice. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
No, it's true. But just
let me look at my guide of human morality. That is correct.
Otherwise, yes. I've been doing things wrong here.
Thinking about Lost Stars and seeing everything from both sides and millions of lives lost for whatever reason you want to do. I was originally like intent, but like Anakin wanted to save his family, him.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Yeah, making it super personal is like that. And we saw in the last scene between him and Padme where it was just straight up my power. Me.
Yeah.
Me, mm-hmm. me.
So, yeah.
I'll give you that too. And I'd say it's intention.
Cool.
Yeah, I do really kill a lot.
They do.
They do.
It happens.
Yeah.
But it's for a good reason.
Yeah. But I love that Star Wars, you can still look at it as a simple story of good and evil, mm-hmm. if you want to, but I like that it is opening up so much just sort of complex actual reflect on our actual human morality and what we think and how the real world works and all that. Going to some theories that are floating around a lot lately, do you guys think that Luke will use the dark side in The Force Awakens? Do you want him to?
I think that he's dabbled. I think he's...
A dark side dabbler.
I don't think he'll go full dark side.
No, it's that midlife crisis sort of a thing where it's like, oh, I never really had a chance to try this, but...
I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
But I think he's experienced some things. He's seen some things. And I think there's got to be a reason why we have not seen him anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, potentially in the poster and the trailer. Why?
Right. At this point, it can't just be that we love Luke, right?
Right.
And even J.J. Abrams has been saying, like, there's a reason for it, even jokingly, tongue-in-cheek. But still, there has to be a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's Harrison Ford's reason on Jimmy Kimmel. There wasn't enough room on the poster.
Right.
And it might be just that, like, we want one emotional punch that's just in a theater of the power of nostalgia and the power of, I can't believe this actually happened. There's Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. But it's probably more likely a plot point.
Right.
But, I mean, he's the guy that we followed through. He was the Everman. He was our relatable character that we got. So
yeah.
Not seeing him yet is... I can understand that from a fan perspective. But I think we don't see him now because he might have gone all the way in a certain thing. Like, he might have just tried Force Lightning and went, oh, that was pretty cool. And then he accidentally killed a dude or whatever. And he's like, nope. All right. Got to meditate for a little bit. See y'all in a little bit. But I don't think we'll see him go full dark side.
Right. It'd
be silly.
Yeah. I feel like we might see him use a dark side, or, you know, we've talked about a little bit on the show, like that finding that balance in the Force if he's a true master to want to be able to understand both sides.
Right.
I think the difference in all these discussions is there's some discussion about, like, is he... Does he use the dark side? Did he use the dark side a little bit in Return of the Jedi when he defeated Darth Vader? But I feel like that's a different discussion than he is the villain of the story,
yeah,
functionally, plot-wise, or
right.
Is he secretly Kylo Ren?
What?
He might be the other side of Count Dooku. Like, Count Dooku was just on the other side of that dark side bit.
Mm-hmm.
He might be the light side of that, where he still has that little bit of darkness in him from when his anger just showed itself in Jedi. So we might get that other side of that gray coin.
Yeah, cool.
I see that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and speaking of the gray, do you guys like philosophically the idea that it is dark side and light, period? Those are the only choices? Or would you like to see a story like with Luke where the ultimate balance to the Force is actually being able to kind of, you know, express the full range of human emotions or sentient emotions in Star Wars through the Force.
I think that that would be so much more interesting. It's certainly more relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us are going to be totally, well, unless maybe you're a monk, right?
Yeah.
You're, or
I mean, that's what the Jedi were, essentially.
Right, exactly. Or if you're a murderer, then you're on the other spectrum, you know? So I feel like being a gray Jedi would be definitely more of how we are, I would hope.
Mm-hmm. I think from even just from a marketing standpoint, with how big Marvel is with its different shades of gray characters, where not everybody is super perfect like your Tony Starks, I think from a marketing perspective, yeah, do it 100%. We need that emotional, relatable core. And then just as a fan, there's got to be a middle road.
Yeah,
there has to be.
Yeah. We just haven't seen it.
Yeah,
right.
So let's talk a little bit about yellow eyes. If you managed to achieve middle road, what color would your eyes be? Like sort of burnt umber,
like a bronze.
Bronze.
I like gold. That. Gold.
Yeah. Gold.
Sure.
Gold.
Silver.
Yeah. Silver. That'd be, yeah, nice. Silver fox. What do you guys think about the yellow eyes? Do you like the yellow eyes? How do you think they function? Do you
have...
Like Hypnotoad?
Right. I mean, they are the window to the soul.
Right.
To the soul, right? So, yeah, I think that it's also very threatening. I'd be terrified if I saw someone with yellow eyes. I'd run the other direction. yeah.
So it goes back to that unnatural, at least for humanoids,
right. Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
But it's, especially when we were watching episode 3, seeing literally the turn and Anakin's yellow eyes was like, oh, that's it. He's evil now.
Yeah,
he turns, for sure.
Right. I like that. It's this weird. I think there are a lot of things in Star Wars where the actual answer is in the original trilogy, George Lucas did some stuff. And then he went back and like, I'm going to make a thing of that. But I think it's so much fun as fans to kind of play around with, well, but what does it mean in canon?
Right.
Because that's not a satisfying answer of, because George Lucas went, I don't know, I'll figure it out. And I like that in Revenge of the Sith, we're introduced to the yellow eyes, I think, almost as like an evil meter.
Right. Yeah.
Because Palpatine is so directly saying, you need to get more powerful in the dark side by using it, by being violent, by taking down your enemies. Because only if you're powerful in the dark side will be able to unlock this weird, unnatural power of saving someone's life.
You need about 10 more XP, so you got to kill those younglings.
Yeah, I feel like it is like a really elegant version of that. Like, you know, not as simple as that, but I feel like it's an elegant, cool version of that. And I think it just aesthetically, you know, going back to Jar Jar and his aesthetics, it would be really, it's a really powerful aesthetic way. So I hope we see more yellow eyes.
And I also think it's like, it's interesting that it's a physical manifestation of what happens to you when you go to the dark side.
Right.
The aging process, right? You know, the yellow eyes. I mean, you basically look at Palpatine, he looks frightening. That's what the dark side does to you.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting thing about it to me too, because we've talked about like, oh, if you're going to relate it to human emotions, maybe finding balance is good. But yellow eyes is one of those things that makes it that the world of Star Wars is saying, no, it is unnatural. The dark side is for sure bad, because look, your eyes are jaundiced, your skin is gross, you're evil.
It's not good, kids. It's like drugs.
Dark side, not even once.
The dark side is like mess. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly portrayed that way. It's portrayed like a drug, right? Like
right.
It's, and those are the words that we use, that it's seductive. And so that leads to my next question. Do you guys think it is fun ever to be a Sith? Or do you think you are just always in pain and anger in order to maintain that identity?
I mean, I go back to Palpatine's first real emergence as the Emperor, where he's just having a ball.
He's having a blast.
He's having a hell of a time. And if we go back to the Old Republic days, when it was the Sith Council, where he actually had people to kind of pal around with, it seemed a little bit more. It was definitely competitive, but it was like. It was an evil social club. So I figure
they golfed a lot.
To a
yeah.
point, once you get to the rule of two, that's when it stops being fun.
Yeah,
and it starts being like, well, teach me more so I can kill you. Come on, time's a wasting.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think to a point it probably is. Sidious knew that it was trying to establish the rule of one, and where he would just be cycling through all of his apprentices from that point.
Right.
So I figure he was like, "All right, let the fun begin." So Sidious is probably having a ball.
I think that's a great point, that he got himself to the point where, like, I can kick back and enjoy this because mm-hmm. I am so mired in evil, and I'm not just trying to secretly continue the lineage.
Yeah,
yeah. What do you guys think of the rule of two? You know. Darth Bane establishes this, that there should always only be two because Sith are too violent and they're going to kill each other if they're at a club together. Do you guys think the rule of two was smart? Do you think it's too lonely? Do you think it's weird to just set up somebody who is inevitably going to kill you?
Yeah, I feel like I'd be a very anxious Sith, you know, always looking over my shoulder, you know, whether you're the master or the apprentice, because someone's going to get killed. I mean, that's just the way that it has to be, right? I think it's a very lonely existence, at least for me personally.
Yeah, but at least you got power.
You do have power. But it's I don't know, like, you don't have any friends, you know?
See, that's why you'll never turn to the dark side, because it's never like, I like being alone.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask about that. What do you think the bond between master and apprentice is? Because it certainly does seem like, well, the goal of the rule of two is I'm going to keep the Sith alive. I am going to be sort of cruel and torturous to my apprentice, because that's how you train them in the ways of the dark side. But we do see, like, a moment of tenderness between Palpatine and Darth Vader. When he's rescuing him in Revenge of the Sith, he touches his shoulder very gently on Mustafar.
Boy, I'm here.
And also, yeah, he's kind of been a father figure. Right. He's manipulating him the whole time, but they're still spending all sorts of time together. You know, so that I think that's really fascinating. What do you think that bond is? Do you like thinking about that relationship, or is it just sort of like, I don't even want to think about a relationship that manipulative and ugly?
It's so toxic.
Yeah.
It's a toxic relationship, toxic friendship, you know? I mean, I wouldn't want a friend like that or a father figure like that. No thanks. But
I mean, we've seen different types of relationships. We like Dooku and Sidious.
Yeah.
Is a little bit more of just like a couple of bros at the social club.
That's true.
Even with Dooku and Ventress and Clone Wars.
Yeah.
It's a completely different type of relationship. So I think it varies from master and apprentice, even Galen Merrick and Vader Starkiller and Vader in Force Awakens was a completely different types of
Force Unleashed.
I'm sorry, Force Unleashed.
It's like, oh, major spoiler.
Galen Merrick's back. I'm sorry, I saw the movie. Shot to the head. But yeah, I think it varies. It depends. I think because of this particular relationship, I think this is one case.
Yeah. The only thing about it to me, that the bond that is sort of fascinating, the only thing that might sound like a little bit comforting, but in a horribly dark way, is that same idea of the Force being like quick and easy and seductive, because you must obey your master.
Right.
You know, and you get in those places where if somebody else just offers you an ideology of like, no more decision making, this is what you believe, this is how things are, I don't think that's a good way to lead your life. I think that's why humans convinced to do horrible things by that sort of thing. But man, we have to face like lots of decisions every day. And to me, there's something comforting about like, it's what my master says. So that's what I have to do.
Talk to him, not me.
My eyes aren't yellow enough today. He told me to do something evil.
Right.
So I do without question, without fail. You know, so there's something kind of, I think, really elegant in Star Wars storytelling about the reflection of that kind of that comfort in ideology that is sort of dangerous and scary and unnatural, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And on the lighter side of the dark side, I wanted to wrap up our dark side conversation with the question, if you could see any Star Wars species as a Sith, who would you want to see?
Okay, well, originally I was thinking, you know, the Gungans.
No, that's a clear answer.
But now, because we already have this Jar Jar theory, I like the Toydarians.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The Watto's race, yes.
Right, because I just think it'd be funny to see them going back and forth. Hey, I'm the Sith Apprentice. Hey. Right? How funny would that be?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da. It's a little sketch comedy.
Yeah, and I would love their big dark cloaks, much longer than they are.
Yeah, they're floating around. Yeah, exactly.
They have to make wing holes.
Yeah, they'd have to make wing holes.
I guess on that note, I would say I would like to see a Gamorrean guard, or just a Gamorrean, I guess. Just how that size of a, or like a, or a Wookiee, just to see somebody that size whether wide or tall, how they would handle themselves and what their fighting style would be.
Yeah.
Because, like, Dooku was a very formal dude. He even had, like, a rapier, like, type of lightsaber.
Yeah, elegant gentleman, yeah.
Yeah, so we've seen different styles, but would we see, like, a giant, like, club esque force weapon or something like the more like a light axe
right,
or
something really big and blunt
big for that somebody that size to wield all of that power, all of that anger, and all of that. I think some of it, like a bigger species, would be cool.
Yeah
Awesome.
I was gonna go the other way with a very small species.
Jawas.
I thought about Jawas for sure.
They already have the yellow eyes.
Exactly. Yes.
Well done.
Yes. Similar minds think alike, my friend. But I was also going to say Salacious Crumb's species, which is monkey lizards.
Yes, Kowakian monkey lizards.
Yeah. And I love that they're monkey lizards.
Correction.
My favorite.
Because it seems very creepy. We haven't seen the kind of Sith that are creepy of, like, they're really small and they can pop around and they could be anywhere. At any time.
Like a Yoda style Sith.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot smaller.
This Sith monkey lizard could be behind your couch.
I love it. And Salacious has a really sadistic sense of humor.
Yeah.
So it kind of fits that he would be a Sith.
Yeah.
I like it.
He's a spy. Damn it. The show's been changing the way I watch the movies just continuously.
That's great. Do you guys have any closing thoughts on the dark side?
Oh, the dark side. I see why I've never gone there.
Yeah. No, I mean, we could probably go even deeper if we wanted to, if we went into Legends. So
this
will probably end this with a to be continued.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see where else the new canon takes the dark side, because I feel like, if you read the book Lords of the Sith, they talk about a lot of these things about how Vader is utterly motivated by pain and anger, and how he accepts that his relationship with Palpatine Sidious is manipulative and it's meant to be, and everything is a test. So I think we're already getting ideas of what the new canon version of the dark side is, and I hope to just see even more of that played out in the movies and have it be more sort of rich and ambiguous like this, so there's more for us to obsess about as fans.
Absolutely.
Hey, we got shows every week. We got to talk about something. But speaking of The Force Awakens, time to go to our new segment, The Mind Probe. This is where you give us your questions on our Facebook page. That is Jedi Alliance on Facebook. Like us, comment on our... We post the Duel of Fates. Don't play it. Where you can make your comments. We read them on air. But for this, we've got different questions relating to The Force Awakens leading up to the launch. So let's get started. First question, Ken Craven X Gibbs asks, do you think Rey, Finn, or Kylo could have been created by the Emperor, since it could be implied that Palpatine created Anakin through the use of midichlorians? You never know what else he's been doing behind the scenes.
I think that's a great question, and I really like that that was put that little point on there. You never know what else he's been doing behind the scenes. A wonderful button to that question. I don't think that any of them could be created by the Emperor, because I think there's some timeline issues. I guess we don't know exactly how old Kylo is, but it seems like they're all sort of 20-ish, and it's been about 30 years.
I think they've been born in between Return. I mean, it's confirmed with Poe that it was after the Battle of Endor. So.
Yeah, in Shattered Empire comic, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I like the idea that some Force user is. Obviously, a lot of what people are talking about in the dark side discussion is who is Supreme Leader Snoke. Mm-hmm. And that he is probably some sort of Force user. So maybe whether that is Luke secretly, Jar Jar Binks, or shockingly just a new character.
What if that is Luke's dark side turn? Is him reading up about this, reading up about his dad, and trying to do it the good way?
Oh, bring his own father back?
Or not necessarily bring his own father back, but using midichlorians and the sorry we're using, saying that word so much, but like using the Force to create
life. It's like, create good life.
Yeah, good life. But it may fail, and that's where Kylo Ren comes from.
Oh, so like that Kylo Ren could be a botched attempt at creating
good life,
a new life in the Force, a new balance in the Force. Yeah,
and that's Luke's attempt to the dark side.
That's
interesting.
Throwing it out there.
That's interesting. Sure. I would love, like we were saying, I would love to see more of that idea that was introduced in Revenge of the Sith played with. So I would love to see, Supreme Leader Snoke or Luke or whoever sort of trying to manipulate life and death in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the fascinating questions with Rey, Finn, and Kylo is if any of them are Skywalker children, where did they come from?
Yeah.
Right.
And how in this action-packed adventure movie based on serials, like, how are we going to stop and say, Did Luke hook up? Who did Luke hook up? What's his soap opera backstory? What's the previously on Luke's dating life that he could have had a kid?
Right.
Han and Leia's a little bit easier, but I think that's one of the really fascinating questions to me about, real quickly, where did these kids come from?
Like, how did they end up where they are? He's got a different family on a different system.
No!
That is truly the dark side.
Yeah.
Or at least the roguish side.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Anakin.
Would you want to see any of our main characters be like Anakin, created through the power of the Force?
It's an interesting idea, but I'm gonna agree with you and say that's probably not the case, just because of the timeline issues. Mm. But yeah, you never know what could have been going on. So I'm open to it.
Do either of you think we're gonna hear the M word in Episode 7?
I don't think
no.
so.
No.
No. Done.
No.
Totally
I think
done.
I think that JJ said that in one interview.
Cool.
That it's just
he
not
did.
In there.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I think
That's
it was one
hear.
Of the many interviews he's done where he's just comedically harassed by people.
Right.
And yet,
hey, JJ,
I got a dumbass Star Wars question to bug you with, but he gives us real information.
That would work. All right, our next question comes from Ernest Acuna. How much of a cluster F would Episode 7 have to be for you to jettison the whole franchise? So not even just not see 8 or 9, but the whole franchise.
Yeah, these questions are really fitting well with the dark side theme of today's show.
Yeah. This is absolute.
Yeah. I think that a character would have to turn to the camera and just personally insult the fans. That's what it would take for me for like Harrison Ford to just be in the middle of a shot, just look at the camera and go, this whole thing's stupid. And you're stupid for liking it. It would have to be
all
like that nasty.
Oh my.
And that breaking of the fourth wall.
We didn't hear the whole line in the trailer. The Jedi, the dark side. It's all stupid. It's true. All of it.
They're real in your
stupid
puny little minds. Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to be bad. I think there are going to be parts that I don't like because, you know, you get obsessed. And, like, I don't want Luke to be the dark side. My want is, not a prediction, my want is for him to be the ultimate hero and to continue maybe wrestling but being the hero. But even if it is, oh, wow, he's Supreme Leader Snoke. I wouldn't like that. I would get annoyed and then I'd have fun kvetching with other fans.
Yeah.
But it would not turn me away from Star Wars.
Is there anything
besides the Binx Awakens?
Yeah.
That would make me say, okay, I'm done.
Wash your hands. We're out of here.
Wash my hands of it. But no, I mean, they would really, like you were saying, have to personally insult us for me to turn my back on the franchise.
It's like, Jennifer Landa. Just in,
What have you been doing with your life?
But technically, I'm canon, I guess. So that's kind of awesome.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talk a lot about people's dislike of the prequels, but they continued to sell well in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And when we were doing our watch-alongs, people were like, oh, cool. It's great to see you doing the prequels. And I recently met a new friend those are the Star Wars movies that I grew up on. So
yeah.
I don't like how everybody poo-poos them. Like, that's Star Wars for me.
Yeah.
So I think we'll get something similar in terms of we have a new generation as this is their Star Wars. This is going to be their Star Wars. And then it's going to be all of our Star Wars.
Yeah.
No.
It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be beautiful.
Do you think
is.
There are going to be things that you just don't like?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But just as with any film, I am generally pretty positive when it comes to movies. Like, I enjoyed Pan, even though most people panned it.
Yeah.
So I can generally be a little bit more positive. I'm definitely a three quarters full sort
awesome.
Of person. So I think there'll be very small things. I'll be like, whatever. But there won't be anything that'll make me go, I'm getting out of this theater now. So
yeah.
I don't think so. Patrick Barman asks, do you think we'll see Leia use the Force? Like, overtly. Because, I mean, technically we have. She's sensed stuff. So
yeah.
It's like, cool. There's the Force right there. But are you going to see her push, pull, just like pull the lightsaber to her or something, like a clipboard?
I think so. I think if you want to stay true to the story of Star Wars and make fans cheer, like, I think that is amazing fan service to have us see Leia do something with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
I also think there's just going to continue to be this tension with what should and shouldn't we keep from the expanded universe. And, you know, in the expanded universe, the general story was she dabbled in a little bit, but was like, this isn't really my thing, so I can kind of do some stuff, but I don't want to be a Jedi. I'm not carrying a lightsaber around. And I think it's going to be a little bit like that she has abilities and kind of can use them, but it's not like her thing. She's not being one of the Jedi in the universe.
Absolutely. I mean, from the actress standpoint, you know, Carrie Fisher, I can't imagine seeing her in a lightsaber duel.
No.
You know, just physically, I can't.
Though we said the same thing about Yoda.
This is true. Yes.
Just saying.
I know. But I could see her maybe doing a mind trick or some sort of telekinesis.
You know, a mind
kind of
trick would be perfect for Leia.
Just
because
a
if she
something.
Knew any of the Force, that sort of like that intellectual, that stately, that I need to get something done.
Right.
Yeah.
We're trying one on Han and Han going, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. That's good. I like it.
But wouldn't it be great if it was this hero moment where you realize that everybody's in horrible trouble and Leia just walks in and you know, nice casual, just throw some people across the room.
Just once.
Sweet ragdoll physics. All right. And sorry to bring it down, but we've got a super serious question as our last one on Mind Probe from Tristan Shields. If, and this is a big if Crix Maydeen is back for the new trilogy, would he have a new hairstyle? He certainly hopes not.
I hope that he doesn't. I think some things should not change. I think some things should be locked in stone as canon. And I think Crix Maydeen, I think that is in his DNA. I don't think that's a style. I think that's the way his hair is.
With the
it
amount
can't
of product,
be changed.
With the amount of product he has, it probably is set in stone. Like, not even exaggerating.
I had to go back and look at him, and I swear, you guys, he looks like he lives in Los Feliz. Like, he's a full-on
he's beautiful.
Hipster.
He's a beautiful man.
Hairstyle.
Yeah. Things come around. Yeah.
It totally has. I'm like, they kind of have to change it because he's too cool now.
He has to be lame. I figure he's just a little bit thinner on top, and it's more of a comb over, like a straight up comb over.
There we go.
The same like to, whatever he has left.
Yeah, I'd like to see a flick.
It's like Lobot with hair,
nice.
Sort of a thing, but he's got a little bit up top. Well, that was the Mind Probe for this week. Make sure if you want to add your questions to the Mind Probe for next week's episode, go to the Jedi Alliance Facebook page, like us, and leave us your questions. We will add it to next week's show.
And now, to wrap up the show, we have our Duel of the Fates. We do our wonderful Duel of the Fates. Jennifer, that's awesome.
I just naturally did.
Yes, Jennifer, you are summoning the power of the Force, which is awesome. Just like I hope Leia does that. And then just throws some stuff across the room.
So be it.
So oh, last week's Duel of the Fates.
No, just like lightning coming from Leia's fingers. Like, oh, yeah. No.
It's about the dark side. So I'm very glad to hear your Emperor Leia impression. So be it. Jerk. So last week's Duel of the Fates question was, who would you rather get life advice from, Han or Leia? Now, I posited that Han and Leia would be older and wiser in The Force Awakens, and one person said, well, sure, older, but I don't know about wiser. But I personally think they will be wiser. And the votes had Han winning by a decent margin. What do you think, Jennifer? Would you rather get life advice from Han or Leia?
I love them. I mean, I'm just thinking about Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher. Who would I rather sit down? I love them both. Can I have a dual chat? Like,
well, if it was Carrie Fisher, then you just buy her book and just be like, yes, perfect.
You go. Okay, so then Han Solo.
My favorite comment, well, Han won. My favorite comment basically said what you said. This is was written by Tony Millett, and he said, both. I would listen to Leia first and then Han to give me a pickup. So I think Leia would have the better advice, but then Han would have some pretty good stories of like, I don't know what you should do, but this one time I was in a bar.
Exactly.
Yeah, it wouldn't be just straight up advice, it would be advice with a story. Here's why I'm giving you this advice.
I like that.
Yeah.
In this week's question is, if you were a Sith Lord, who would you rather have as your apprentice, Darth Maul or Darth Vader?
Oh, Darth Maul.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, because he's more, I feel like he's just going to get the job done.
Right.
He's not going to question. He's not going to bug me. You know, he's a man of few words.
He's not going to bug me.
I can say, go get that guy. Okay.
Right. Send him one memo and he gets it. You don't have to follow up.
Absolutely. Vader, it's a little bit more emotional.
Yeah.
You know, he has a lot to say. I don't need that. And he might want to take my job, so.
Oh, I mean, technically both will, if we're still doing Rule of
Well,
Two.
Well, I know, but what about Rule of One?
That, I mean, that's,
I want to be in control.
Yeah, crap, she's turning. Your eyes.
Yes.
This show has been excellent for me. Reveal my true colors.
Like, when you put it like that, I think I would be more of like, like a sports dad with Darth Maul. He's like, hey, look what he did this time. Yeah, he's flipping around. He's cutting people's heads off. That's great.
Yeah.
But with Vader, I think it would be more of, especially knowing how that story would end, of him, like, saving his son and seeing his redemption, be like, even me, I'd be like, there was still some good in him. I didn't, good. And then be thrown down a chute with lightning pouring out. I would have to go Vader for the long haul.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I think thinking selfishly, thinking evil, thinking to change my eyes to yellow. Vader's just a problem apprentice.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
I like a challenge.
He just needs more attention.
Yeah,
you need to keep him on his path. Yeah. And
yeah.
Darth Maul is just pure hate. Just go. You know, if you told him, valet park my car and do it in the most evil way you can, Maul would be like, at last.
He would force lift the car right in between a perfect amount of space where the two people on either side wouldn't be able to get out.
Yeah. He would trap them in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd totally go Darth Maul if I were evil. I'm not evil. My eyes are blue.
Now just thinking of Vader as just the whiniest kid in between Sith and New Hope. Just like, do I have to? Or like seeing on Rebels where he'll eventually break down and go, oh, Soke is still alive. I don't want to deal with this today.
Whiny Vader.
Vader.
Great. Well, we're going to put Duel of the Fates up on the Facebook page tomorrow, and we'll get your opinions and insight on who would be the best Sith apprentice, Darth Vader or Darth Maul. We're going to wrap up. Jennifer Landa, can you tell us where people can find you, what you got going on, all that good stuff?
Yes, you can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/Jennifer Landa. I'm also going to be hosting a new special on Star Wars Battlefront on Fusion in November, which is now November in a couple
November
weeks.
It's November now.
Yeah.
I'm super jealous.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
If you need random players in the background, please give me a call. I'm the Internet Soapbox Mark. You can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. Also here at the Popcorn Talk Network doing video game movie anatomy. Tonight we're going to be doing Dead Space Downfall, which is a fun, awesome, gory, disgusting horror film that served as a prequel to the original Dead Space. Also, whole bunch of stuff on AfterBuzz TV. Too much to list. Just follow me on Twitter and you'll get the idea.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw. You can find me on Twitter at Joseph Scrimshaw, and my website is josephscrimshaw.com. I got a bunch of stand-up shows and whatnot coming up in Los Angeles, so you can find out about those on my website. I also have another podcast called Obsessed that's on feralaudio.com. And if you're interested, this is a good week to check it out because next week my guest is John Rocha talking about his obsession with soccer. He is very funny and gets very emotional, and it is very, very cool and fun. So if you like John Rocha in sports, which I know a lot of our Jedi Alliance fans do, check that out on Obsessed.
Perfect.
Thank you guys for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit the PopcornTalkNetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all the US-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died and possibly turned to evil to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.